We're in a series right now. It's called It Is Written. And this is a series about God's Word working in our lives each and every day. The power of that Word that changes our lives. And I want to challenge you to make the Word of God a part of your life every single day. Whether you read it or hear it or you meditate on it, however you get it, make it a part of your life every single day. I got to tell you, it's way better than the news. Yes. I don't know about you, but I can only take so much of the news. I mean, it's depressing. This is the good news. Do you realize that the word gospel is literally good news? That's what it means. And how we need the Word of God. I want to tell you also, though, it's better than Google. It's better than AI. It's better than your favorite TV show. The Word of God. Make it a part of your life every single day. You need to know this. The Scriptures were written that you, all of us see, but I want you to take it personally, that you might believe. It's not just a book of anecdotal stories and poems and fairy tales, you know, pretty literature. That's not what it is. One little boy on the way home from church, his dad asked him, he said, "Son, what did you learn in children's church today?" And he started telling the story of the children of Israel and how that they were cornered, they were trapped at the Red Sea with the Egyptian army in pursuit. And he said, "Dad, then they built these pontoon barges out on the water and they drove their jeeps across the lake. And when they got to the other side, they blew those pontoons up with dynamite and all of the Egyptians drowned in the sea." The dad said, "Now, son, is that really what they taught you in children's church?" He said, "No, Dad, but if I told you what they said, you'd never believe it." Here's the thing. This is amazing to me. But I've actually heard some people teach on that and talk about that. And it's crazy, but there are Christians that don't believe that it happened like that. And so, you know, these guys, they think they're so intelligent and they got a bunch of letters after their name. And they talk about how that, well, it wasn't really the Red Sea. It was the Sea of Reeds and it was only 6 inches deep. Well, what I know is the children of Israel crossed through on dry ground and the water was walled up on the sides of them. And what I know is that Egyptian army, the greatest army in the world at that time, pursued after them, and in the middle of that sea, the walls of water came crashing in on them and killed them all. Let me tell you, it doesn't really matter to me if it was 6 inches deep or 600 feet deep. God wiped them all out, and it was a great miracle of deliverance that people talked about. I'm talking about other nations talked about for hundreds of years, how God had delivered his people. These were written for us to believe. Because we read this story. It's not just a neat thing that God did for them. It's not just history. It is written for us to believe. That when our back is against the wall, whatever we're going through, and it looks like there's no way out, we serve the way maker. That he will always make a way. It was written for you to believe. And it's amazing how many of these wonderful stories of the Bible, those very stories that people feel a need to explain away, those are the very stories that we need to realize were put in there. They were written to help us believe that our God is a miracle working God. You see, he wants us to know in our generation, he is still a miracle working God. And no matter what people say or what other people think, we can look to the Word of God and know who our God is and how he operates in our lives. And I quote this often, Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord, I do not change. I quote it often, I believe, because the Lord wants me to. But let me tell you, in this culture, there's so many people trying to change who God is. Right. Trying to make him fit their idea of who he ought to be. No, he's not going to change for anybody. He's a miracle-working God. And he moves and works when his people believe. We need to always trust him to do miracles in our life, to answer our prayers. But it's so important that we look to the Word of God with this mindset. This was written that I might believe. John chapter 20, verse 30 and 31. And truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. John says very clearly, verse 31, these are written that you may believe. It's not all that Jesus did. And as you read the Bible, it's certainly not all the miracles that God did. These are just the ones that are written, but these were written that we might believe. Now, I think John was especially talking about his book, that it would help people believe that Jesus really was the Christ and the Son of the living God, so you could have faith in his name. But I also think that it applies to the whole of the Word of God, that all of it was written so that we could believe. You can't build your faith on anything else. Right. You can't base your faith on the reasoning of man. I figured this out. No, you can't base it on supposition or religious ideas or worldly philosophies or what so-and-so said. This is the only thing that you can build your faith on. Amen. It's the only sure thing. And as you read it, let it bring faith to your heart, because these things are written that you might believe. Now, this morning, I'm just going to kind of work through the Gospel of John. It's only 21 chapters. You'll be out of here by 3, I promise. But we're going to just work through it, because he says these things are written that you might believe. But I also want to challenge you this week, even if you have a reading plan you do or whatever, I would just like to encourage you and challenge you to read the Gospel of John this week. It's 21 chapters. That means 3 chapters a day. Now, you can probably do that in 5 to 10 minutes. And every one of us can do that. My goodness, 5 to 10 minutes. Some of you brush your teeth longer than that. I believe it'll be a blessing to you as you realize every word. This was written that I might believe. John chapter 1, verse 1 tells us of the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In verse 14 it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You see, God came to earth in a bodily form in the Son. Do you believe in the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ? Some Christians are confused about this. They don't understand who this was. His name was also Emmanuel, God with us. This was written that you might believe in the Son of God, Jesus. Verse 29 of that same chapter, it tells us that Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This was written that we might believe that he is our Savior, that he sacrificed himself, the one who knew no sin, the only one that could pay the price for our sin. He did that for us on the cross, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. In chapter 2, this is quite a term, but in chapter 2, we see Jesus at a wedding and they run out of wine. And his mom kind of puts him on the spot. And Jesus turns water into wine. This was written. This was written that you might believe that in everyday life, when there are problems and things arise, that we have a God who cares and can change that situation. It is written for us to believe. In John chapter 3, Jesus tells Nicodemus, "You must be born again." This was written so that we would believe and know we got to be born again. But also, let's get this. When you're born again, you're born of the Spirit. It's not just, you know, a little extra religion. It's not just reforming you. It is a whole new life. If any man be in Christ, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You are a new creation in Christ when you're born again. This was written that we might believe. In John chapter 4, Jesus offers water to a woman at the well who had had 5 husbands, and now she's living with another man. Well, I didn't say it just right, did I? He offered her living water. This woman had a thirst in her soul that she could not satisfy. Relationships wouldn't do it. I want to tell you, money won't do it. Success won't do it. Everybody has a thirst in their soul, and we need to believe that Jesus is the only one who can satisfy that thirst. This was written for us that we would believe. In John chapter 4, a little bit later, a man comes to Jesus and he asks him to heal his sick child. I want to read it. It's John 4, 50 and 51. Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your son lives." So the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and he went his way. That was all it took. The man believed the word Jesus spoke. That's still good. The word of Jesus is still good. These things were written that you might believe. The man believed the word of Jesus. He went his way, and as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, "Your son lives." You know, in this particular story, Jesus didn't see the boy. He didn't lay hands on him. He just spoke the word and somebody believed. This was written so that we would believe that when we go to the Lord and we pray for our child, we pray for our loved one, we pray for our friend, we pray for our brother, sister in the Lord, we pray for our neighbor, we pray for our enemy. Too far? We love our enemies. Well, you want to love your enemies? This is how you do. You pray for them. Lord, get them. No, you pray for them. Amen. That's how we want to pray, right? This was written that we would believe that when we intercede, when we go to Jesus on somebody else's behalf, he hears. We just need to believe his word and it'll be done. John chapter 5, it's written that Jesus healed a man who had been sick for 38 years, decades, he had been sick, but Jesus healed him. I have to remind you, the Gospels were written decades after it happened. None of this was written for the people these things happened to. It was written for you and me. This man who had this infirmity for 38 years, we need to know this was written for us, that no matter how long it's been, no matter how bad it looks, no matter, you know, there's no change and it just seems hopeless, it's never hopeless with the Lord Jesus Christ. He can come on the scene and change it in a moment, in an instant. It's never too late for Jesus to change your situation. John chapter 6, it tells us about how Jesus fed the 5,000 with a little boy's sack lunch. This was written, not so we could just go, "Oh, what a neat story." This was written that we might believe that God will always provide for us. He'll make a way. He'll take our little and turn it into much. That's the God we serve, and that's why this story was written. I remember when I was 19 years old, a long, long, long time ago, I was in a singing group, and we would go out and sing at other churches, usually on a Sunday night. Anybody remember when you had Sunday nights? Four of us. It was awesome. We loved it. I hated to let it go, but we do have small groups on Sunday night. But anyway, we would go and we would minister in these churches, and you know, they give us a love offering. It was mostly love, not much offering. That's the way that goes. But I tell you, it was so fun and so exciting to be used that way and be a part of that. I just wanted to do it full time. I mean, we were getting $50 a week, you know. 19, young and dumb. But one night in 1979, I remember we left this church, and of course, Sunday night after church, you know, back then church would go at least a couple hours, and if not more, and you get something to eat. And so we head home, and it's pretty late on a Sunday night. Well, in 1979, there was an energy crisis. And at this particular time, there were lines at gas stations, and some gas stations ran out and closed. But on this Sunday night late, we're driving through Dallas, and we couldn't find, we didn't see a single gas station open from the freeway. Now, I know nowadays, you know, we just say, hey, Google, where's the closest open gas station? And y'all remember it wasn't that way, right? We were in an old Monte Carlo. Back then, Monte Carlo had a big V8. At best, on the highway, it got about 13 miles to the gallon. And our needle was showing an eighth of a tank. That's not going to work. We were looking hard for a gas station. We got through Dallas looking, through Richardson and Plano. Plano wasn't much back then. And, you know, it was looking really dim at that point because the rest of those cities were just a hole in the road then. Anybody remember when McKinney was just a hole in the road? It's so big now, but back then it wasn't. What are we going to do? We prayed and we prayed. An eighth of a tank just isn't enough. There's no way. The last 30 miles or so of that trip, I remember I was just absolutely amazed. It was, I mean, if I hadn't have been there, I would have thought, this is unbelievable. Now, it may not sound like a miracle to you. Well, you weren't in the car. I'm just telling you. God multiplied it. He made it last somehow. And we get back to town, everything was fine. But I just want you to know, these things were written for us so that we would believe that God will move and work in our lives today. In chapter 6, it tells us about Jesus walking on the water. This was written so that we would believe that the laws of physics, the laws of nature, I want you to know, they can be superseded at any time by the one who created it all. Just like he made the sun stand still for Joshua. This was written that we might believe. There's not anything that he can't do. In John chapter 8, it tells us about a woman caught in the very act of adultery. And there are men there who want to see her stoned. They all go away. But Jesus says to the woman, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Jesus forgave her sin and he gave her another chance. This was written so that you would know, no matter how terrible your sin, God will forgive you and give you another chance. This was written that you would believe. In John chapter 9, there's a man who's born blind. This was written that we would believe that Jesus is our healer. Jesus healed this man born blind. And I want you to know that even if you were born with some problem, with some issue, maybe not a physical thing, you know, maybe it's a hereditary thing, something that's passed down to you, and you say, well, this is the way my family is, whatever it is, I want you to know, Jesus can change it. That's the God we serve. These things were written that we might believe. In John chapter 11, he raises Lazarus from the dead. This is so that we would believe that he has the power over death, hell, and the grave. And we're going to kind of look at this story a little bit, starting with verses 14 and 15 of John chapter 11. But I just want you to hear this now. Jesus hears that his friend Lazarus is sick, but he doesn't go. He waits, and he waits until he's dead. And then he says, now let's go. And not only that, he tells his disciples, I'm glad for your sake that you might believe. It's so important that we believe. Here's what it actually says in verse 14 and 15. Then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. Why did he do it this way? Because he wanted them to believe. And I want to tell you this morning, he wants us to believe. Anybody ever felt like it had to get worse before the victory came? Oh, a lot of us have been there. Sometimes that's what it takes for us to really believe. Is Jesus sad about the death of Lazarus? No. He knew what he was going to do. I wonder if that offended the disciples at all. I wonder if that offends some people today. But, I mean, how could he say such a thing? But he comes to the tomb of Lazarus, verse 39. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there's a stench, for he's been dead 4 days. Jesus is about to raise him from the dead. She's worried about the smell. Isn't it amazing how we get preoccupied with all kinds of trivial things in life that don't really matter in the big scheme of things? We need to keep our eyes on Jesus and what he's going to do. Amen. Jesus says to her in verse 40, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. He wants people to believe. We need to know this story is written for us so that we would believe that through our Savior, we have victory over death, hell, and the grave. Always, always, this was written that we would know it's never too late for our God. He's been dead 4 days, Lord. Jesus could have been there. They said, couldn't he have saved his friend? Yes. But it's never too late for our God. When it looks like it's over, it's not over with the Lord. Mighty God. In chapter 14, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. This was written that we would believe that Jesus is the only way. People from other religions say it isn't so. There's even a lot of Christians that want to say it isn't so. But Jesus says it's so. And you either call Jesus a liar or you might as well just go ahead and believe that he really is the only way. Amen. This was written so we would know personally he's the only way that I can make peace with God and have a relationship with the Father. But also, we need to know this was written that we would believe he's the only way for that lost person. We got to tell other people because this is the only way. Jesus. It's written that we might believe. A few verses later in 16 and 17, Jesus says, and I will pray the Father and he'll give you another helper that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. This was written that we might believe that the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. I think sometimes, you know, we kind of have the attitude or maybe even say, Wouldn't it be cool to have been one of the disciples, to be with Jesus, to walk with him and talk with him and see all the miracles that he did? Wouldn't that be cool? He's in you. He's in you. Jesus told the disciples, he said, the one who is with you, he will be in you. I want to tell you, through the Holy Spirit, Jesus lives inside of every believer. And here's the thing, you need to believe this. This was written that you might believe. Yes. Then in verses 27 and 28, Jesus says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You see, this is just before Jesus was going to be betrayed and taken away and crucified. It was going to be the worst time of these disciples' life. And he tells them, my peace I give to you. You don't have to be afraid. You see, when we're going through the very worst time of our life, and in the natural, we should be pulling our hair out. We should be all upset and frantic and stressed. Instead, we don't have to be, because Jesus has given us his peace. We don't have to let our heart be afraid. He said, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. This was written that we might believe. Whatever it is, we can trust him. We can hang on to that peace. Then in John 15:11, he says, these things I've spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This was written that we might believe that even when we're going through heartache and all kinds of problems, that we can still have the joy of the Lord. He's given us that joy. Amen. Then in John 16:33, he says, these things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you're going to have trouble. Anybody got any trouble in this world? You're always going to have trouble. But he says, be of good cheer. You see, we can still have that joy. We can still be happy. We can still be glad, because he overcame. And we know that we're going to overcome. That's why we still rejoice when we go through difficult times. Then in chapter 19, it's written that Jesus died on the cross. But just before he died, he said, it is finished. This was written that we might believe that when he died on the cross, when he said it is finished, the price was completely paid. Our redemption was complete. There's nothing else that we have to do to add to that. He paid in full on the cross with his own life, with his own blood. And he said, it is finished. We just got to believe. It's done. We're not saved by works. It's all by God's grace. Through faith, he made us righteous. Then in John chapter 20, it tells us of an empty tomb and how that Mary Magdalene saw him, and then the other disciples saw him, but somehow or another, Thomas seemed to miss out on all of that. In John 20, verse 27 and through 29, it says, then he said to Thomas, reach your finger here. Look at my hands. Reach your hand here. Put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. Isn't it amazing? Thomas, Jesus has to tell him. I mean, he's showing him, but he's telling him, don't be unbelieving, believe. I tell you, don't be unbelieving, believe. And Thomas answered, said to him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you've believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. This was written so that we might know that our Savior rose from the dead and forever conquered death, hell, and the grave for us. Amen. But it was written also so that we would believe, listen, that we are blessed. Thomas, blessed are those who believe and have not seen. You know, we talk about the disciples. Oh, that would be cool to be with Jesus. Do you know that we're even more blessed because we believe and have not seen? That was written for us. I'll tell you, if you're having trouble believing, you just need to, you need more of the Word of God. If you're weak in the Word, you end up being weak in faith. Real faith comes from the Word of God. And if you're having trouble believing, you need more God's Word. Romans 10, 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You can't base your faith on anything else. For your faith to be real, it has to come through the Word of God. And we need to take it as though it was spoken to us personally. You know, faith is not just wishing. Faith is not positive thinking. It's believing what God has said. That's what's real. And in the Word of God, I tell you, as it speaks to you, it'll bring faith to your heart. We live in this world where there's so much doubt and unbelief and cynicism, and rightfully so. I mean, what would Thomas do in our day and time with all this fake video? You can't even believe what you see. I think about the disciples that so often, even though they walked with Jesus and they saw the miracles, He says things to them. He rebuked them often. He says things to them like, how is it that you have no faith? Oh, you of little faith. I wonder if He would say the same thing to us. But if you want more faith, feed yourself the Word of God every day. That's how we receive the promises, the blessings of God, is by believing. You know, even salvation itself, it comes through faith. But that's where a lot of people stop. They've been taught even to believe God for that, but not for anything else. They disregard all of the rest of the Scripture and the things that God said. Now, we need to believe that the promises are for us. That's the key to answered prayer. But a lot of believers have just learned not to believe. You should believe the Word of God whenever you hear it. Listen, you can't believe the word of man. But you can always believe the Word of God. In 1 Thessalonians 2, 13 through 14, it says, for this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the Word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, which effectively works in you who believe. You notice he says, you welcomed it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God. Don't get mixed up about this. You can't base your faith on the opinion of man. You can't base your faith on what Brother so-and-so says unless Brother so-and-so spoke the word. We believe the word as though God is speaking to us. It's not just for somebody back then. It's for me right now. And it's not just for somebody else. Have you ever been in church and you heard a word preached and you thought, oh, I wish so-and-so was here? When you weren't here that week, somebody was thinking that about you. It's true, but here's the thing. It's always for all of us. The word of the Lord is for us. And here's what he says. He says, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. You see, the word of God has this inherent power in it. The Word of God, Hebrews 4:12 says, is alive and powerful, but it works effectively in you who believe. It's so important that we believe what the Scripture says, that it's for us. It will work effectively in you. It's for you. It's written for you to believe. You're tired, weary, worn out. I got to tell you, it's all the Word of God. It's all for us. When you get older, you find yourself tired, weary, and worn out a lot more often. More coffee, please. That's not the answer. I know what the answer is. It's Isaiah 40 and 31. Those that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings like eagles. They'll run and not be weary. They'll walk and not faint. Tired and weary? Yes, I just need to be in the presence of the Lord. I need to spend a little more time with Jesus and let Him refresh me and renew me. Listen, talk about being old. Going to run and not be weary. Not even going to get tired. Going to walk and not faint. I hope you're not just thinking of going for a walk here. No, we're talking about life. I'm going to keep going. I'm not going to give up because He renews my strength. This was written that you might believe. It was all written that you might believe. I read about a widow in a time of great famine. God provides for her and makes a way for her to survive. I read about a young man, a teenager, who fights a great giant, a man of war that's 9 feet tall. And we all know the story. And we say, oh, that's a good story. Isn't that neat? That was written for us to believe that when we're facing giants in this life, our God will give us the victory if we'll trust Him and believe Him and give Him the glory. You see, these things, they were all written for us to believe. Psalm 103, 2 and 3. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all His benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities. How many of you believe He forgives all your iniquities? Amen. Who heals all your diseases. How many of you believe He heals all your diseases? Should be the same number. It's the same verse. Don't chop up the Word of God to make it fit your doctrine. And what you believe. Believe the Word of God. Take hold of these promises. The things that are written here are for us to believe, not to argue over, not to give our opinion, but accept the Word of God as it is to us and believe what He says. And I know that the struggle is hard. Sometimes the battle is long. It's a fight. Yes, it's a fight of faith. We know that our God can do anything. All things are possible with God. The battle is not hard for the Lord. The hard part is for us to fight the fight of faith and to believe God. No matter what it looks like, only believe. I challenge you one more time. As you read the Word of God, look at it in this light. This was written that I might believe. How does this speak to me today? What do I need to believe from this passage, from this verse? Let it speak to you. It's written for you to believe. I believe that it will change your life. It'll work effectively in you who believe. Stand with me. We're going to pray. I want our prayer partners to come.